flip it, I did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm camping, it's prime. Get it and flip it, we did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm camping, it's prime.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Ball Don't Lie, episode 126, man. As usual, man, I am your host, Scott. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BarbChairScott. Got my co-host Dante in the building here, man. You can follow him on Twitter at OctoberZoneTay on Twitter. You can follow the Barber's Chair Network on Twitter and Instagram at Barber's Chair Net. Patreon.com right now, /Barber's Chair Network. We got $5 package, $10 package, man. I'll prescribe. I will recommend that you niggas get the $10 package because you're getting everything. Like I keep telling you, Sopranos season 3 will drop sometime in April. I don't know what day in April because, you know, blame my brother. It's not my fault. But at sometime in April, it will be dropping. Pierce hosts the 40-40 Club Extra Innings that he puts on there. And also, I will be bringing back, well, actually kind of debuting, but bringing back my White Sox podcast, which is just me. It's called He Gone. I don't know how often I'm gonna do it. It might be a couple times a month. But it was something I had an idea to do last year that I was gonna do right before the beginning of the 2020 season. But of course, COVID came, shut it down. So, you know, we didn't know how long it was gonna be back, gonna be out with no baseball. So I didn't really bring it back. So now I'm deciding, you know, fuck it, I'm gonna do it, make it, give it to our Patreon subscribers. So get all that on a $10 on a $10 fee, and of course, we got Summer Sessions video coming soon. And of course, you're listening to this on a Saturday because we're actually dropping on time today. So we need to shout out to all y'all who dealt with us during this time. But how you doing, man? Dante, what's going on, bro?
I'm solid, bro. Really can't complain. Just got the TV mounted, so shit feeling good. You know, pad coming together.
Okay.
Other than that, I really can't complain, G. second shot on Monday, so we really about to be active.
Okay, Vacky boys.
Definitely. I'm gonna have to come drop in on an episode of Summer Session
Live. You got to come.
But nah. Niggas is excited.
We're going to be recording at the Batcave, a.k.a. Pavy Crib.
Hey, it's love.
So, yeah, definitely got to do that, man. I've been drinking like I'm just way too much since I've been free, since I got my walks and I got my freedom papers.
I'm about to say, you've been live, bro. I just seen a couple stories. My niggas at cookouts, all type of shit. Niggas singing karaoke. I say, okay.
And then niggas, I was at karaoke with Baron Davis and J305. Niggas, the most...
That's
LA most LA hash shit ever. First night out, I'm at karaoke with Baron Davis and J305.
That's like, nigga, one day I was at Ralph's and I looked over in line and it was fucking Nick Young. Like, what the fuck?
Nigga, I always tell the story about my 29th birthday, nigga. We the Lakers, this is like 2017. Yeah, I turned 29 in 2017. So the Lakers was playing the Jazz that night. And we went to a playhouse for my birthday. It was me and a couple of homies. And I swear to God, the game must end like an hour and a half before. This nigga Jordan Clarkson come running through the club. I'm like, nigga, the game just ended. How the fuck you get from Utah? The game was in Utah.
That nigga had the limo waiting for him when the plane landed, nigga. Like, hey, we going.
Nigga, we going to the club, nigga.
That's just like the nigga Lou Will when the Clippers flew in town to play the Hawks. Mm-hmm. This nigga had the sprinter waiting outside of the hotel. Like, all right, I'm going.
I'll nigga, that's you. Hilarious.
We'll be back.
That's fucking hilarious. <We'll> be <back. laughs> But before we get into basketball, man, I just want to say rest in peace to DMX. Want to send all the love and prayers out to his family and his friends and everything like that. We're going to get more in depth into it on Summer Sessions, man, you know, dedicated episode to him. But just quickly, man, I just want to, you know, X was like one of the first rap superstars I can remember, you know, of our era. You know, of course, Ho was my favorite, but I think a lot of people, if you're not, you know, older than, you know, us, and what I mean by us is like niggas who were born, when I say my era, I mean niggas who were born from like 85 to like 91,
I was about to say 90, like.
Yeah, 90, yeah. 90. Yeah, 90, yeah. 90. Yeah, 85 to 90. If you were born in the late 80s, babies, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, if you were in that, then you know that the 90s, you know it was Jay-Z, DMX. These niggas was battling for supremacy. And some can even argue that he was hotter than Jay. You know what I'm saying? You can even argue that. And so I forgot how many bangers that nigga had until last year when he did that versus. I'm so happy. I appreciate that versus even more than I did a year ago, because I'm really happy to see that he got his flowers. And I think it was only right that he did it with a nigga like Snoop, because Snoop is, you know, make sure that, you know, DMX gets all the love he's going to get too. And it was just, you know, I think this is the, it's tragic because this is probably the first time we've lost a big rap superstar that didn't have anything to do with violence. You know what I'm saying? And he's been dealing with demons his entire life, man. And it just, I just hope that, you know, he's found an inner peace with him. But I mean, not inner peace, I mean, you know, but he's more peaceful now, you know, that he's, he doesn't have to struggle with that addiction anymore. And I think the beautiful thing that we saw, just so many random stories on the TL of this, of X just doing random shit.
Just the random videos.
Yeah, the random run-ins. Yeah.
Bro being at the convenience store running into people and shit like that. No, I agree. And like, especially being from Chicago, because, you know, we talk about how regional rap is.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like one thing about us and being in the Midwest, I know me, we grew up on a lot of, on literally a little bit of everything, G. Like East Coast music, West Coast music, fucking Bone out in Ohio. Like, we really grew up on all of that. And so, like, me living with my cousin, he put me on the Lox and DMX early. So, like, one thing I always remember, even when I was a shorty, was the prayers. Because it's like, bro will give you this hard-ass album, but then at the end, he gonna always set shit straight with the prayer. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I think this is really one of the, in my opinion, one of the first real, one of our first real pioneers that we've lost from our generation in hip hop.
Yeah, like definitely.
X may have gotten forgotten, and you got a lot of people who disregard him because of his addiction, because you just got a lot of ignorance in that area, because like you just said, it is a sickness. It's not something where he was just a fiend. Like, especially because we all know the story
about him getting that lace blunt.
He got laced. So it was literally nothing intentional that put this demon on him for the rest of his fucking life, which is crazy. But I think when we look at DMX, I think he's definitely probably one of our first pioneers of our generation that we've lost. So, like, definitely one of the greatest to ever do it. I think, like you said, he got his flowers on the verses, which is very important, because a lot of times, I think when we get into the way we consume everything so quickly now, a lot of the legends don't really get they just do. Obviously, we still talk about Hov, we still talk about Nas, Eminem, people like that. But for the most part, you got a lot
even
of
Eminem gets disrespected. I don't like the disrespect Eminem.
And I'll even admit to some of that, just having revisions in this history.
I haven't listened to that nigga in over a decade, but I hate when niggas act like they never listen to him. When them first three albums came out,
they all went crazy.
Niggas was playing him.
All three of those, and I'm about to say, the shit may have aged like
aged like shit.
We listen to it, G. Don't front on bro now. But like, I was, like you said, with the verses and just everybody. And one thing I did notice, like I said, X, you can't deny that. If you are an actual fan of hip-hop, it's nothing about DMX that you can say, nah, that's some bullshit. Or, nah, y'all just hyping him because he died. So like, even when you had a few people who tweeted some dumb shit. Like, even The Game tweeted some silly shit, which...
The Game always tweeting goofy ass shit.
I get so sick of JC Young. Like, I can't even call that nigga The Game, bro. I get so sick of JC Young, because it's like, bro, you could rap your ass off, but you always do some silly ass shit. Like, it never fails. And so, like, but other than that, like, it's been all love, as it should be, because, I mean, DMX, like you said, he one of those guys who I feel like made mood music. Like,
for sure.
Like, he's going to change the vibe when you turn DMX on, or when it's his verse in a song. Like, it's like, all right, niggas, go.
When we talk about some of the most important flows in hip-hop history, X is in the top five, like, as far as distinctive flows. Like, Jay has this. You know when Jay's going on. Nobody has Jay's voice. You know, nobody has Kanye's voice. Snoop has one of the coldest flow. Biggie and Pac had one of the most distinctive flows that you knew it was them. And even when I was thinking about Biggie the other day, like a month ago, it was it's been 25 years since he got killed. And I was listening to Life After Death, and I was like, you know, besides the fact, of course, him dying early and being 32 now, when you know about Pac and Biggie dying at that age, imagine, look at all the stuff they accomplished at 24 and 25 years old.
It's insane.
Like, when I was a kid, you thought, 24, 25 is old. When you get 32, it's like, nigga, I've lived 7-8 years longer than Tupac and Biggie, and they accomplished so much. So I can only imagine what they're going through. But when I listen to Life After Death, it's like, he was getting better. He was getting better.
That's the scary part about Biggie, bro. And that's why, me personally, I always put Biggie over Pac. I say Pac was more influential.
Biggie's a better rapper.
As a rapper.
Biggie's way better rapper.
Biggie's a... No disrespect, but it's not close, my nigga. Biggie's a much better rapper.
Yeah, lyrically, like, he's in a different tier than Tupac.
And like, prime example, one song that always hits me is Victory. Like, yes. That verse on Victory, it's like, yo, this nigga was disgusting. And he was only getting better, G. Like,
and this is why
rapping with Hov now, like with them both of them niggas old as hell. Like,
and that's what I was gonna get to. That's even more further why I think Hov to go. This is young Hov, and he going blow for blow
with a nigga
who the toughest in the game. Like, he had Biggie had Brooklyn's to come with his top shit. Yeah.
That Brooklyn's Finest, that shit still go hard. That'll ring off any time you play it right now.
I love the dope. Like, it was just like, like watching the Avengers fight the Justice League, nigga. It was like, them niggas was going at it. So it's like, when you listen, DMX has one of the top flows too. Like, you could be in a shitty mood, but if you hear X come on, talk is cheap, motherfucker, it's gonna change your fucking shit. Like, today, I was playing all his music. And I was like, I know my neighbors is mad. I had my windows down. It was like 80 degrees. I had the windows down. I'm bumping it. So I'm just like, man, X, like, I forgot how many hits he had because, you know, with legacy artists, sometimes you don't listen to them all the time. It's not somebody that's in your regular rotation. Like, I love Hov. I don't listen to Hov every damn day. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got to be in a Hov mood. But that's why I appreciate that. Exactly. That's why I appreciate Timbaland and Swizz Beatz for the verses, because I feel like verses – it just helps all these artists get their flowers. Like, even with watching the Isley Brothers and Earth, Wind & Fire, there were songs that I forgot I knew the words to because my mama and daddy used to play that Chanel's all the damn time.
That shit, them nigga, you talking about a heavyweight fight?
They that was a heavyweight fight.
Like, every time, because I know a lot of people, this off popularity probably went with Earth, Wind & Fire a little more, but we from the crib. So it's like, every time, and I love the Isley Brothers, but every time they would hit somebody, hit them with a banger, Earth, Wind & Fire, come back, throw
come
another
back. But see, it showed the difference too. Yeah. Like, if you try, like, Isley Brothers make that get your fuck on music. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, Earth, Wind & Fire got that groove, nigga. We had the barbecue type joints. Like, that's why I understand. Just, I really just saw Ron Isley's legacy. Like, this nigga had a hit in every decade from the 50s, bro. Like, and that's why I talked about on Summer Sessions how I went about the Mr. Big Cinematic Universe. With a little fan of videos he had with the Nasty Man, and even went to the B2K videos, nigga. And I was like, wow, he really like brought himself into a new generation, and that's just shit that we would have forgot about if it wasn't for verses. So I'm happy about that.
And I'm about to say, you used to talk about bringing himself to a new generation. Look at how many shorties was posting the nigga new look. Like,
he
damn near, and they dropped the single the other day. So it's like,
and we all know who produced that. Them vocals were sent straight from Cook County Prison.
I'm about to say, bro, like, you can't deny the pen. He's a scumbag.
He's a piece of shit.
He's everything y'all ever said, but...
That's what I said on the podcast. Look, I'm locked that nigga under jail for one, for the obvious, and two, for fucking up maybe the greatest catalog of all time. Like, I was
And I also tell people, bro, like, he don't own his master, so I'm not supporting him if I actually play this shit, so I'm not trying to hit
That's a good point.
So I don't be concerned about that, but like, is he a scumbag? Yes, absolutely.
For sure.
And number two, before we get off this subject and actually get to basketball, but like, niggas be like, y'all lived in Chicago and let R... Nigga, I was like seven. What were we gonna do about R. Kelly, bro?
Now look, I said this on the podcast some sessions, like, look, yes, we knew. My cousin told me about the shit when that nigga was a Kenwood. But it's fucked up the sound. He was still breaking us off with a piece of the remix. Niggas did not care. Be real. Niggas did not care until he started doing records with the Migos. Let's be real. But it's like, all right, get your ass up out of here.
It really took a complete change in society.
Oh, for sure.
Get him the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Because I think his name is Ron DeSantis, the journalist from the Sun-Times. We all remember that expose when he put all that shit out. Like, yo, he's been doing this for years. Here's the records. He nigga had tapes. He had videos. He had confessions. He had a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
But people did not give a fuck. Like,
no, it was a different time, man.
Much different time. So you can't say that to say you can't look back retroactively and be like, why y'all didn't do X, Y, and Z? Because it was literally a different time.
And also, like you said, I was what? 10, 12, nigga? Like,
yeah, what the fuck was I gonna do? I was waiting on GCI to drop in the closet first.
I'm like, nigga, what the fuck am I doing? I'm 12, nigga, I don't give a shit. Like, so yeah, that's that. But to bring it all back together, man, rest in peace, DMX. Keep his family in your prayers. keep his family, his kids, all in his prayers. And also, man, keep, you know, Irv Gotti, Swiss Beats, all the close people we had in his prayers too, man. Definitely. So, but let's get into basketball. Let's get, that's what you niggas are here for. We got a nice amount of shit to talk about today. A lot of shit happened in the association. Did you want to go with your weekly observations first?
I'll go first because I only got one.
Okay, good.
Put Chris Paul's name in the MVP conversation.
Okay.
Let's cut the bullshit. The top three MVP between Bron, Embiid, and you know, we just get bored with Giannis, which is sad, but it's the truth. They've fallen out of the conversation for the most part. Embiid came back, he's still been hooping, but I think really your 1-2 should be Chris Paul and James Harden. I know James Harden just got hurt, so that's probably gonna take him out of it. So Christopher Paul, lock in on that name. If they continue to play the way they're playing, you have to give him consideration. I know Jokic, like, you know, it's like the third season in a row he's going to lead the team in points, rebounds, assists, blocks, all type of shit. But if they can't surpass them, then Christopher Paul should be league MVP.
You know what? I agree with you. Everybody knows how I feel about that point guard. Which, you know, but actually since he left Houston, I respect him more because I think him going to OKC and then coming to Phoenix, you really see that nigga impact.
Man.
This actually kind of goes to one of my weekly observations, but I'm with you. If we go off the way the NBA votes, he should be MVP. Honestly, it shouldn't even be a discussion. I personally think it's Jokic to lose just because he's putting up them ridiculous numbers, and Chris Paul's not most offense. Not he can. If Chris Paul wanted to put up 25 a game, he can do that.
Oh, absolutely.
That's just not how his game is. So I don't understand. We talking about the conversation. They don't even mention this nigga. Like, so I'm with you on that. They're the number two team in the NBA right now. Not just the West, in the NBA.
Yeah,
so and I'm 100% with you on that.
I feel you. Because and then that's the silly part. It's like. And I've seen more people mention Devin Booker instead of mentioning Chris Paul. And not to disrespect Devin Booker, but it's like he was getting these numbers and they were winning 32 games. So, like, don't tell me this nigga's the MVP. Chris Paul is clearly the difference on that basketball team.
Right? But, you know, niggas only like offense.
I mean, that's true, G. That's very true. And, like, it's kind of – at this point, like, sometimes I'll sit and just look at the score ticker. And basically, the way the NBA's become, whoever gets the closest to 120 is going to win the game.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
That's why I think Brooklyn's going to be so hard to beat at the end of the day.
Because good defense is, can you keep them under 115?
Exactly, though. Like, I'm going to say, at the end of the day, if you can get closer to 120 in that 105 to 115 range, there's a high probability you're going to win the game. And you know that most of these teams are running off analytics now. So, like, as much as we love defense, we want to see those possessions, you know, we want to see it come down to shit like that. At the end of the day, a lot of these teams are just thinking, go get buckets. Like, just fill that shit up.
Yeah. And what you said about the Nets, too, as far as defense. Remember, I was talking about them having the worst defense in the league? If you go by the numbers right now, how many points per game these niggas – give up, the Nets are in the top 10, bro.
That's all you need. We gotten to the point where it's like, I know for a minute the NBA was like, you needed like a top five offense and top five defense in the final. That's what it was for a few years when we got those Warriors-Lakers matchups. But bro, you really need just, if you top 10 in both, and you can get timely stops and you can get buckets, that's really all you need.
Yeah, especially in the fourth quarter. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's really – it's not – nobody's shutting anybody down anymore. Like, I think probably the best defensive team is still the Lakers. But nobody's just out here just doing what the Detroit Pistons did. Remember Detroit Pistons had, like, a streak where they were holding niggas until, like
– under 70?
Under 70, niggas.
Like, silly, G. But, yeah, like, that – no, that era of basketball is dead, never coming back. First of all, it's officiated. First of all, fuck Trae Young. We're getting that to the Bulls. When we get to the Bulls.
Okay.
But no, like the game is officiated so differently now. Like, you know, it's damn near impossible to keep a team below 70 points. Motherfuckers are scoring 70 before halftime. So that's just not happening no more, G.
Yeah, it's 100%. Niggas, if niggas don't score 74 halftime, niggas, something wrong, bro. Something seriously is going wrong. But
five niggas got hurt. That's the game.
Right, exactly. That's what happened. But I want to that was the only one you had?
Yeah, that was just my one. CP3 for MVP.
Okay, we're gonna circle back to that because my third one has something to do. Well, actually, no, I'm gonna do a 3-1 now. Out of my three, Devin Booker, he's not him. Like, I wanted to, like, you brought that up perfectly. Like, yes, he scores a lot of points. He's one of the most gifted scorers in the league. But I don't fear Devin Booker. Like, he don't give me that he's him. And it's the same problem with Giannis. Giannis ain't him. You know what I'm saying? Giannis, two-time MVP, defensive player of the year, highest paid player in basketball. But he don't strike fear in your heart. And that's why I've been saying this for years. I'm going to keep saying it. Zach LaVine is better than Devin Booker to me. To me, all he needed was a star with him. And we're going to see it when the Bulls make that play-in game. If I was somebody on another team, he would scare me more than Devin Booker. And it's just something about Devin Booker. So even though Chris Paul is great, Chris Paul shouldn't have changed the team that much like he has. And to me, that says a lot more about Devin Booker ain't like that more than it says about Chris Paul.
I agree with that 100%. You talking about a team that's fucking, I think they're 15 games above 500. They've never been that with Devin Booker.
They went like, even with the Thunder, like he took them to like a fifth seed team. I'll argue Phoenix had more talent than that Thunder team prior to Chris Paul.
Fact. No, 100%.
And he took them from play-in game to the second best record, only a game or two behind the first record in the league. And to me, that says everything about, Devin Booker just ain't like that. If that much changed.
Yeah, I feel, and I'm glad you mentioned Zach, because as much as people want to say, oh, Zach just get buckets on a bad team. No, that was Devin Booker.
Right, exactly.
That's what he was doing, my nigga. Zach's getting buckets, and he's doing that in an extremely efficient clip.
Yeah. Now that he got Vooch, of course, we'll get into it later in the Bulls corner. Like, he's become more of a playmaker now. Like, he's more efficient. Like, it's crazy. So that's why my Devin Booker is. I'm gonna start with my first week of observation. My second one, I've been trashing the Clippers all year. But I gotta say, Rondo make them niggas legit to me. Rondo makes just the way they beat Phoenix last night. And just the way the game went, like, first of all, give it to Paul George. Paul George locked. He did great. He locked Dame. I don't say he locked Dame down, but he played great defense on Dame the other night. He took Devin Booker completely out the fucking game the other night while giving these niggas 30 in both games. And just the offense looks so much more fluid now when you got Rondo facilitating. There's even been moments where Paul George does just Paul George shit. You know, Paul George and Tatum lead the league and doing cool crossovers and not going anywhere. Them niggas are the kings of that. And Rondo be like, chill the fuck out. We gonna do it this way. And it makes Paul George and Kawhi's job so much easier with him facilitating. He came off the bench, gave niggas 15-9. That's what they were looking for. It makes everybody else's job easier. And this is, we're still waiting for Ibaka to come back. So I still think when healthy, these niggas will probably still lose to the Lakers or maybe even Denver. But I give them a way better chance than I did last year. Just because Rondo, and we know playoff Rondo is a real thing. We saw with the Pelicans, we saw with the Lakers wouldn't have won a championship without Rondo last year. And I was very skeptical about Rondo. Because Rondo and Bron are both ball dominant. So I didn't know how that was gonna work, but he showed up. And I think he's gonna do the same thing for the Clippers. And when Pat Bev gets healthy, whatever the fuck that is, that's gonna be two guards that's gonna frustrate the fuck out of a lot of opposing people. You know what I'm saying? Them two on the prowl, man. So Rondo to me makes the Clippers a legit threat. And my first one, Blake Griffin is a fucking troll. Blake Griffin is a troll, like 100%. This nigga trolled for 2 years. Like, even his dunks, like he's dunked, like there was all, he hasn't dunked in 2 years. This nigga got like 8 dunks in like the month that he's been with the Clip with the Nets. And not only that, did you see the dunk in the game that KD returned? This nigga did the one hand cock back.
This nigga tomahawked that bitch.
I'm like, this nigga hit threes at the buzzer. I'm like, he was trolling. He just wanted to get the fuck out of Detroit.
But I must, Y'all know I love Santa, right? But I told y'all, it's one thing to be, you know, playing in Detroit. Yeah, everybody say, oh, you're still getting paid. Fuck that. You know you're not going to win anything. So it don't matter if you should go out there and score 50 every night. Like, at some point, your energy is just going to just be depleted. So it's like, now I'm in Brooklyn. We have a chance to win a championship. And I don't have to be that guy.
He's like the fifth most important player on that team.
My nigga. So if I'm only getting 18 to 21 minutes a game, I can come in and go crazy and then sit the fuck down and let the young guns, because, like, I mean, at this point, Blake is an old head.
Yeah, the which young is crazy.
Guns, which is wild as fuck. But at this point, I can let the young guns go in and do their thing, and I don't have no issues. So, yeah. Like, no, I feel you on that 100%. Like,
he's strong.
He did just what Batum did. Like, but Batum went out there to the Clippers and, like, oh no, I'm not in Charlotte. No
and
more.
He open.
Fuck it, I'm a hoop.
Like, environment is everything, especially for NBA players. You got to look at this nigga spent his whole career in LA.
Yeah.
And Blake is a mixy nigga. This nigga be out in the streets. Keep it all the way funky. Blake be out. I've been in LA for 7 years. Blake been out here. You know what I'm saying? So
Blake was not on 7 Mile.
Nigga, my auntie lives in Detroit. There's no nightlife in Detroit, Michigan, bro. And yes, he don't live in the city in Detroit, but the Pistons actually play in downtown Detroit now.
Yeah.
These niggas don't play in Auburn Hills like they did. These niggas actually play in depressing ass downtown Detroit.
Doom and gloom, Detroit.
Doom and gloom. Anybody's been downtown Detroit now, and I got love for all my Detroit niggas. Detroit niggas cool as hell. My auntie done lived in Detroit for about 17 years now. I got love for Detroit. I used to be in Detroit almost every summer when I was in high school. But nigga, when I tell you there's nothing to do there, there's nothing to do there for me. And I'm not worth, what, $100 million like this nigga?
You saw how tricked out Matt Stafford's career was. You got to do something when you in the D.
And also, nigga, Matt Stafford got traded to fucking L.A. This nigga, 2 days in, this nigga in Mexico with motherfucking, what's the coach name? What's my man's name?
Young McVay?
With McVay going over schemes. This nigga hype. Just right. To be in L.A., it's something about it. So now you're in Brooklyn. You're in New York, nigga. Not only are you in New York, you're, like you said, you're on a championship contender. You with KD, Harden, Kyrie, the pressure's not on you. If you niggas lose, it's not going to be because of you. They going to be looking at them three niggas. So, yeah. And then also,
he still got his check.
And he still got his check. He's still getting paid. Let's be very clear. He's still getting paid. And so, and I want to get to LaMarcus Aldridge too, because we came in here last week. I came in last week. Yo, that nigga low-key been hooping. This nigga been putting to like 22-9 for like three straight games. He's starting. Like, even the game against the Pelicans when KD came back, I looked at the box score. This nigga had 24-10. I was like, what the fuck? This nigga actually trying on defense.
Bruh, like you said, he's been scoring points, and he's been locking niggas down. That's the crazy part. Like, we talk about environment. He really left San Antonio and was like, no, I'm finna go crazy. Like, y'all forgot who I was. That's like, crazy.
John, I saw the pick and pop, like Kyrie coming. By the way, Kyrie's so disrespectful, though. I don't think there's any nigga that's more fun. When Kyrie's on fire, there's no more player that's more fun to watch than Kyrie.
Yeah, Untucked jersey Kyrie.
When that
just come out, and he at the park, he's going crazy.
And that's how you know he a student of Kobe. Remember Kobe jersey? Kobe's had used a long ass. That bitch be hanging out.
When Kobe was the last nigga to wear the big ass jersey. Remember that? Like, he was the last one.
Yup. So it's like, he's doing all that, and like, you got nothing but niggas. It's like three niggas on Kyrie. You got motherfucking LaMarcus Aldridge wide the fuck open. Cash. So then I'm looking like, okay, maybe I was underestimating this nigga's impact. Meanwhile, Andre Drummond ass nigga. I saw Laker fans get mad at this nigga last night on Twitter. I was like, see, y'all wanted my head when I told y'all I ain't never seen a nigga put up the most pointless 20 and 20 in my entire life like Andre Drummond.
No, bro. Like, shout out to Chris Herring from Sports Illustrated. But he wrote this article. He was like, Andre Drummond is arguably the best rebounder in the NBA.
Yes.
But when you look at the teams who, like, lead in, like, certain rebound statistics, that shit don't matter no more.
Nope.
With the pace that everybody's playing at, that shit really don't matter. So it's like, Andre Drummond is good in that aspect. He's better than Marc Gasol, who, you know, like we talked about last week, he did.
Which is another thing that Laker Nation killed me about. Laker Nation gonna start knowing when I'm right. Just because I hate LeBron don't mean I ain't got eyes, nigga. And yes. By the way, none of my LeBron takes ever have anything to do with this game. I always said that nigga's the second best player I've ever seen. I just don't like the nigga. So you gotta pay attention to my actual basketball takes. I watch basketball. I live in LA. I watch a lot of Laker games, nigga.
Right.
So I know what I'm talking about. This nigga, and also Andre Drummond's been in the Central. How many times have the Bulls played the fucking Pistons? I know that nigga don't do shit.
Yeah, like like you said, it's empty stats.
And
it's crazy because these days he's one of the few dudes that like he'll put up. It's kind of like when Kevin Love was in Minnesota.
He is exactly
when he'll give you 20, 20, 30,
and
30.
Didn't mean
and they don't.
Shit.
Who gives a fuck? Like it's cool. It's cool to talk about that day. But these motherfuckers won 25 games. What are we talking about this shit for?
Yeah.
So, no, I feel you 100% with Drummond.
And,
like.
And also, I don't think I think LaMarcus is getting more tick, obviously. I think LaMarcus actually might start. But
Yeah,
like, Drummond is like, I don't think he's getting that much tick in the playoffs. Because you got to look at it like this, bro. Like, he clogs the fucking lane up.
Yeah.
So, LeBron likes to move around. AD likes to move around. KCP likes to move around. Get your big ass out the paint.
Yeah.
And he's not a defender. I saw somebody call this nigga Andre Drummond a rim defender. I was like,
no.
Nigga,
no,
are there two Andre Drummonds?
No.
What are we talking about?
I'm going to say, I've seen motherfuckers cook Andre Drummond. Like,
nigga,
live live and in person. But I'm talking about niggas on the Hawks. Like, give Andre Drummond buckets. So, like, please, no. Like, he can rebound, man. Yes. Defense, no. That's not his game. That is not his game.
So, those are my three weekly observations, man. But you brought up something you wanted to talk about, top 25 on the 25 list. Is it ESPN list? That's what it was?
Yeah, it was an ESPN list, top 25. The NBA's best players under 25.
Okay. I didn't look at it, so I don't. Yeah. I don't even know what the list is.
I mean, of course, you know, they do this shit just for the
just
sake.
To troll niggas.
Yeah, just to troll niggas. And like you say, we always talk about engagements are key. And so, like, you know, I mean, I'll run through it real quick because
okay.
It's only 25. Colin Sexton was 25th. Lonzo's 24th, Jared Allen 23rd, John Collins 22nd, Halliburton 21, DeAndre Ayton 20th, Anthony Edwards 19th, Sabonis 18th, Mikal Bridges 17th, which I don't think he should be over Sabonis, but I mean, there we go.
Bridges is not over Sabonis.
Right, exactly. Trae Young 16th, Ja Morant 15th, Michael Porter Jr. 14th, which, okay. Jamal Murray 13th. Jaylen Brown 12th, Brandon Ingram 11th. You got Gilgeous Alexander is 10th. You got Bam Adebayo 9th. You got Devin Booker 8th. You got Ben Simmons 7th. You got De'Aaron Fox 6th. You got Jason Tatum at 5. Donovan Mitchell at 4. LaMelo Ball at 3. Zion at 2. And Luka at number 1. So, I mean, I agree with Luka being number 1.
So, who's number 3? LaMelo's what?
LaMelo was 3.
I like LaMelo, but they put a little bit too much dip on their chip right now. Bruh, top 3.
And that was the issue a lot of people had. Like, you put Melo at 3, and then you got a lot of names who have been to the playoffs.
Right. Niggas who have done it.
You know, done a lot of different shit, and they got Melo over them. So
I'm feeling? Not mad at the first two, obviously.
Yeah.
First two. Make a lot of sense. Zion and Luka. To me, I think those are going to be the faces of the league. I'm not mad. Now, I didn't look at the list before, but I did see Knicks fans are mad that RJ Barrett didn't make it. I'm like, first of all.
What?
Look, this is the thing. Look, Knicks fans, this is why Knicks fans are ridiculous. Take today's game, for example. These niggas played the Grizzlies, right? And so niggas was like, oh, RJ's coming to his own. They told him, like, this nigga must have had 30. I look, this nigga got 20 points. 20 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 assists. I'm like, I think it's going to be a rivalry with him and Ja. I was like, are you fucking serious? Nigga, Ja almost had 30. What are we talking about here? Rivalry? He got a dub. He put up 2 our dang numbers.
This man averages 17, 5, and 3. Get the fuck out of here. Like, stop. Like, it's crazy because, like we said a couple episodes ago, you will look at the timeline and think the Knicks are the motherfucking 2 seed. 26 and 27. They are your typical Tom Thibodeau team. Like, what the fuck are we talking? I was talking to my boy earlier today because he was like, man, I'm so sick of running the offense through Julius Randle.
Oh, I was like, nigga, Joakim Noah.
Bro, I used to watch Joakim Noah do 75 dribble handoffs every game, nigga. It's boom. This is the play. We had 3 plays, nigga. 2 of them involved Joakim handing the ball off to somebody. So, yep. Like, Nick, it's amazing, G, how this shit still works. I think it's going to take Brooklyn winning a couple rings before we really get over this shit.
But like, they're ever going to get over
most
it.
Most of basketball Twitter is still like begging for the Knicks to be good. And even like, I got this theory that the whole Knicks being good thing, even that was bullshit because they weren't that good.
Oh, I'm with you. And like, the league is better when the Knicks are good. No, nigga, when were they ever good? What the fuck you talking about? Not.
That's like another team that people need to let go of, the Boston Celtics. The 80s were the last time they were actually.
Yeah, the Boston Celtics have won one championship in the last 25 since I've been alive.
No, that's them 30, 40 years.
Yeah, nigga. Since I've been alive, these niggas have won championship.
No, Lynn Bias was the death of the Celtics. RIP Lynn Bias.
What year did Lynn Bias die?
That was what, 86?
Oh yes, that was their last championship before. Because
they won a ring and then they had the pick and they drafted them.
That's right. Okay, I didn't think about that. That's a good point.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it's crazy because I was random sidebar. It's this podcast called Death at the Wing, and it talks about all these NBA players that died and how like it helped reshape. And it's a weird podcast. It's a crazy podcast. No, because it's like the first dude they talked about was this dude who
I already know this is sponsored by the whites.
Yeah, I know. I'm about to say he used to beat Magic ass at Michigan State. Then he went to the league, but it just so happened he went to the league and got drafted by Philly the same year they got Dr. J. So they put that nigga on the bench, and then he died in a car crash.
Wow.
And they talk about how Lynn Bias low-key inspired all the racist shit that Joe Biden did because it was like, Boston lost this superstar because of cocaine, and so they just was like, all right, we need to make this bill. And this low key called the Lynn Bias law. Wow. Wild as fuck. But that was sparked the mandatory minimums where you get if you got 5 grams of crack, you get 5 years. But if you need 500 grams of coke to get 5 years, like
Nick, those
all of that shit, yeah, bro. They really fuck black people over with this shit. But like, no, if you get a chance, check out this podcast called Death at the Wing, G. This shit is crazy, bro.
That's do sound like some wild shit. Yeah. It's like, even if you talk about the whole of the league is better than, like, nigga, even if you look at the 90s Knicks, bro, I think Bomani put it perfectly. The 90s Knicks were the Bad Boy Pistons if they couldn't score.
That's fact.
And I was like, I've never heard a more spot-on comparison in my life. Like, the niggas could not score. And even the year that, Jordan always stops. Okay. Jordan went to go play AA baseball, and y'all niggas lost to the Rockets.
Still didn't win.
Y'all up 3-2. Y'all had two opportunities to win Game 7 to win the championship on the road. Didn't do it.
Bro, I tell niggas all the time, Patrick Ewing is probably the most unclutched great nigga ever.
Oh, nigga.
We've seen this nigga miss bunnies.
Fail after
not
nigga.
Show this L after L after L after L. Like, He was great at Georgetown. You got to give him that. But when we talk about his NBA resume, he has some of the most remarkable failures ever.
But and just the Knicks in general. I'm Knicks fans who listen to this, I'm sorry. I don't mean to do this to y'all. Especially since I'm a Bears fan. I call the Bears the football Knicks.
Yeah.
But if you look at it right.
We fuck with y'all, but this is the truth.
I don't fuck with the Knicks. I fuck with Knicks. No,
the Knicks fans. The Knicks fans that we know.
The Knicks fans I know, I fuck with y'all. But see, this is the thing about the Knicks. You got to be real. And this is the argument I have with Pavi all the damn time. These niggas are not iconic. Pavi swears these niggas are iconic friends. Like, no the fuck they not. We only talk about the niggas because they play in New York. So automatically you're going to be revered as a top franchise because you're in New York. Look at every top. Everybody tell, I feel like the Garden being the Mecca is the biggest load of bullshit on planet Earth. Like, it's not. Like, think about every great moment we have in the Garden. It's never a Nick. It's always another player. Mike always busting their ass. LeBron dropping 59 up there. Kobe dropping 60 up there. The first Steph Curry moment we remember is when he dropped 55 in the Garden. I got this rule that you're not officially a Bull till you go off in the Garden. D. Rose went off in the Garden. Ben Gordon went off in the Garden. Zach went off in the Garden like a year or two ago. Even Larry weak ass had like a 35-point game in the Garden.
He went crazy in the Garden one night.
So like it's like the whole myth around them. It's bullshit to me. And it's also, you got to look at, like, I respect their fan base, their loyal, they're dedicated. Like I said, I'm a Bears fan. I can relate. I understand. But then this thing about the Nets can three-peat. They're never going to have a heart in New York because the New York fan base is generational. But I will say this, though. They can birth a new generation of fans that they'll be Nets fans. They'll, the Knicks are trash. we rolling with the Nets. Now, this current, our age and, you know, that they're not, they've been raised to be Knicks fans. But these younger ones, like, I truly believe, like, there's a lot of people who, up until last year, don't remember the Lakers being good. That's if fact. You like, let's just say you like 23, right? Let's say you're 23 right now. 10 years ago, you were 13 in 2011. That's when Lob City first came together. So you don't remember the Lakers being good till last year. And so even though, of course, the Clippers have nowhere near the fan base Lakers, there's been a lot of people out here who are legit Clipper fans just because that whole little 7-8 years that the Lakers weren't a factor. And I think that can happen in New York a little bit.
Yeah, no, that's facts. But I think with anything, like this is with anything in life, period. You got to teach the kids before you teach old niggas.
Yeah.
Like, that's, it's just not going to happen that way. So I agree with you.
We're too stuck in our ways.
Yeah. Most people, like you said, prime example, like, even when they were talking to Tracy Morgan about the Nets, he was like, who? Who? Like, you got people like that who that's all they care about. And so, like you said, as long as, if they keep winning, which they are going to do, when they win, they got to get those young kids to be Brooklyn fans. Because those old niggas, that's over with. That's not going to happen. They always going to be New York Knicks fans.
Yep.
No matter how trash Dolan is, no matter how much they don't win. And I think in terms of, like, your comments about the Mecca, when I think about the Mecca, I think that refers to New York basketball as a whole. Like, just the parks, the Gauchos, everything about New York basketball. I think that's when I think about the Mecca. But as far as the Knicks, I agree, that shit's been dead. That shit died.
Even if you want to look at it from that aspect, nigga, Chicago been kicking their ass in every statistical category for a long time, nigga. And so everybody be like this, oh, when LA
Cali
got,
too.
Yeah, but see, this thing about that. This is the thing about Cali, when Cali niggas try to bring their shit into it. We talking about a city. You niggas is talking about an entire state. And not only that, y'all niggas is talking about an entire county with different cities. So y'all low-key kind of cheating.
And it's wild because they won't claim niggas in certain conversations.
Yes.
But then when we start talking about basketball, they're like, oh, no, he's from L.A.
Right.
He's from L.A. And it's like, all right, which one is it, my
like, nigga? Nah, yes, Compton is in L.A. County, but that's Compton, though. L.A. City are different. Right. So which one is it going to be? So that's why I'm Chicago, nigga. We have the best Hoopers in my head. I don't even fuck what nobody got to say about that. But speaking of New York, let's go to Brooklyn. Kevin Durant finally came back this week, made his return to the court on Wednesday. They had a game against the New Orleans Pelicans, dusted them off pretty good. Kyrie had a great game. LaMarcus Aldridge had a great game. Now, I didn't know if he was going to play or not because they said anybody he was going to play. They were hyping up, oh, he's playing. But he didn't – not only – I wasn't worried that he didn't start the game, but the half was almost over and he didn't play. I was like, okay, what the fuck is going on? And then he randomly came in and dropped 17 points off the bench. Like,
that must be with ease. A solid 17, 5, and 7 in 19 minutes. So.
Which is fucking ridiculous.
I mean, and, bro. Go ahead.
Nah, you good.
At this point, bro, I really think Brooklyn just fucking with people. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. I really think they like, yo, offensively, we are that gifted that we can do whatever the fuck we want to do when we want to do it. So we just going to chill and do our thing until the playoffs. Like, it's really that easy. Like, we talk about teams being able to flip the switch and how you can't do that. Certain teams can. And when you got three great niggas like this, they definitely can. Like, we talk about Kyrie and his PTO. Bro, take 2 days off a week. And this nigga will still come out and give you 35.
He came back and dropped 40.
Bro, he don't care. Like, this is why I fuck with Kyrie. Because it's like, yo, this is something that, like, besides, just beyond skill, like, NBA players, NFL players, any professional athlete, beyond the skill and the work they put in, they have God-given talent.
Yes.
So it's like, it's some shit that we'll never understand as regular civilians. Like, the way, so like, that nigga, he's really at an elite level. And so it's like, nah, bro, like, yeah, I'm going to take days off. Yeah, I'm going to do this. I think he's faster now or some shit, but it's like, no, when you have that type of talent, you can do whatever the fuck you want to do. And it's really, we so used to the media trash of these niggas and expecting them to act a certain way, be a certain way. But I think if it's one person that's showing you that you can really do whatever the fuck you want to do, as long as you do your job well, that's Kyrie.
Yeah, you can get away with shit if you do your job. And that's what these niggas is doing. And like, I feel like a lot of people, I feel like the Nets have kind of become the bad guys in the NBA right now. And I have a couple theories on that. One, of course, anybody who challenges LeBron automatically is a bad guy to a lot of people. And then two, I think, but it's also, you know, hypocritical because they're getting mad at them stacking the deck. Remember before the season started, everybody was like, cancel the season. The Lakers got the most stacked team in the league. Remember that shit? Yeah. It wasn't that long ago. It was only 4 months ago. Like, niggas forgot already. Now it's all that Mark Stahl and then. And like, no,
narratives change really quickly.
Narratives change. Niggas are all they the stack team. So when LeBron has a stack team, it don't matter. When everybody else do it, it's cheating. And it's two different things. It's always the narrative. If LeBron beats them, oh, he's the GOAT. How many more super teams he got to beat? But if they lose, it's, oh, they jumped them.
Yep.
It can't. Right. You got to pick which one way it's got to be, bro. Like, and that, I just don't like the inconsistency. So on that, for that point, there's a lot of people out there who I feel like they want them to fail. And it's like, oh, they finna pan out like the Clippers. This is why it's different. The Clippers ain't got no frail ass niggas like Paul George, number one. And as great as Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are, them niggas can't score. I can't even think. Like I said, when the team got put together, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Kevin Durant were great offensively. These niggas might be the most offensively gifted trio in NBA history. Like, all three of these niggas can give you 40 in a fucking blink. You know what I'm saying? They've all done it. And you got two niggas who've won a championship. They know what it takes to win a championship. And Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's got a chip on the shoulder because even though he won those championships with the Warriors and he was clearly the best player on there, it was Steph's team. Steph was still the motor that made it run. Steph wasn't the best player, but it was his team. The team was built around Steph. Just even look how they played in the games that Steph was hurt. It was not the same. You know what I'm saying? But this is a team that he built in his mold. So he's happy about that. Kyrie, to me, has the biggest chip on his shoulder. I've never seen a nigga who made the most important shot in Cleveland sports history get disrespected the way he does. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like he should get as equal credit as LeBron. Look at that game five. It wasn't just LeBron dropping 40. Kyrie had 44.
Yeah. I think Kyrie is in one of those situations where, like, I compare Kyrie to, like, the entire football team because, like, I love the quarterback position, but I think it's, like, the most overrated great position of all time because it's literally 33 fucking starters in football, G. So,
this,
like,
is true.
I don't give a fuck how great your quarterback is. You still need other niggas to do their job or you're not going to win shit. That's just the facts of it.
Niggas
like,
still got to catch. You can throw the best ball ever.
Bro, just like we talk about, prime example, we talked about that fucking pass Pat Mahomes threw in the Super Bowl where he was parallel to the ground. It was he hit the nigga in the face mask, but he didn't catch the ball, so it didn't matter.
I want like, media outlets to stop posting passes that didn't get completed and dunks that weren't completed. Like,
bro, I hate that shit.
Stop it, bro.
But you know what started that? I think the And1 mixtapes really started that. When you mix a motfucker and then just brick the shot, like, please, that's not an accomplishment. PB Kirk talks about that a lot, G.
I don't care about the crossover if the shot ain't going. It means nothing to me.
Yeah, PB Kirk, he was like, you young dudes. He was like, back in my day, he was like, if you made the move and missed the shot, he said there was no applause. Like, you missed, nigga. Like, on to the next one.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's just narrative change. So that's why they're gonna have the biggest, you know, cross the bear this postseason, I guess.
Oh, definitely.
So I want to get to the next thing is they're still dealing with a lot of injuries. Like, you know, Kyrie hasn't really been injured. Kyrie just been taking a gang of PTO. Kyrie hasn't really been injured this year, which is great for him. KD was out for 2 months, and Harden was putting the team on his back during that time. As soon as KD gets back, Harden got a hamstring, and now Harden's out for at least 10 days. And so the Lakers, if you look on the West Coast, Lakers went from the number two seed. These niggas are fifth, and they are only a half game in front of the Blazers for the sixth seed. These niggas are dangerously close to being sixth or seventh. You know what I'm saying? We might have a Clippers-Lakers first-round series. Think about how fucking wild that should be. Or a Nuggets-Lakers first-round series. So if you look on from scale of 1 to 10, give me your concern level for the Nets getting healthy and your concern level for the Lakers getting healthy on a scale of 1 to 10.
My concern level for the Nets is a 2. I would say all these injuries are minor, and when you have that type of firepower, you can give people the necessary days off to get right. So if the doctor say Harden needs to rest for 10 days, he'll probably rest for 15 to 20 because you got motherfucking KD and Kyrie. It's funny as hell. Remember Joe Budden made that clip about the Kobe, KD, Kyrie, pick a K? Like, Brooklyn don't have that dilemma, nigga. They don't have to pick a K. Like, they right. got both of them. Like, and so it's like, it don't matter, G. Like, I hate to say that, but it really don't. Like, if one of them is out, you still got two more that can pick up the slack. And the remaining parts of the team have gotten better. So you still got LaMarcus. You still got Blake. You still got Brown doing this thing.
Give some love, my man Claxton.
Yeah, you got to. He's Claxton. You've been hooping, G. So
Joe
like,
Harris, hooping.
Yeah, I'm about
Bruce
to say.
Brown, like they got guys who,
man.
We forget, nigga, you know what's crazy about this shit for next year? They still got Spencer Dinwiddie coming back.
Yeah, didn't I trade, bro? He's coming back.
Right.
So, like, they six units are going to be beating some nigga starters. Like, yeah. It's going to be filthy. So, like, my concern for them is a two. As far as the Lakers, my concern is a nine, G. Like we said a couple episodes ago, I really could see the Lakers tumbling all the way down to that play-in game because we keep getting the updates on AD, but, like...
We haven't heard anything update-wise from AD.
Man.
Like, at all. We've heard more about LeBron than we have AD.
They said AD was going to be reevaluated, and then when he was reevaluated, they said they was going to wait three more weeks. So it's like, it's really more so just, they saw KD go down, bro. And they know if that man goes down, shit is over. Window closed. Like, I don't give a fuck how great LeBron is in year 17. It's year 17.
Like LeBron said himself, I'm 36.
Yeah, the nigga's old, bro. Like, we gotta be realistic now. Like, it's getting to that point where, like, you know, even though he's always made sure he had that sidekick, but if AD gets seriously injured, that's terrible for the Lakers going forward.
Yeah. As far as my concern level, I'm gonna say Nets are three, just a little higher, just because not as far as you know them, but I just want them to have like at least 2 weeks of having their whole squad to get a little chemistry. Now, granted, they're gonna finish with the top two seed, which means they're gonna get the Bulls or fucking who else is in that fucking shit or the fucking Celtics or some niggas that can steamroll in 4 or 5 games. So that could be their tune-up series too. But really, I just want to see them for 2 weeks in the regular season, get some time together. But I'm not worried about it because like you said, it's not major injuries. And also, I feel like roles have been defined already. Kyrie, the biggest move of the year to me was Kyrie telling James Harden, you be the point guard. Let me be the two. You be the point guard. Like we said about KD, he's the only superstar in the history of the game where you can plug this nigga in any situation. And he can seamlessly, even just with the game he came back on Wednesday, 17 points in 19 minutes off the bench. No problem. You know, he was out there giving looks to LaMarcus. It was looking good. So I'm not worried about them like that. The Lakers, I'm with you, nigga. I'm at a nine, bro. And it's bad. Like, it's bad because I do think LeBron will be fine. I think if the playoffs began today, LeBron will be playing. I'm not worried about LeBron. LeBron is like Tom Brady. Them niggas have some type of health shit we've never seen before.
Oh, yeah.
Them niggas got the super serum from Falcon Winter Soldier. That's when Tom Brady and LeBron got that.
I mean, I think LeBron took ACH, and I'd be dead ass serious.
No, I don't be joking. I'd be dead ass.
I've been saying that for about a decade. Like, right. I really think LeBron took ACH, and ain't nothing wrong with it. I don't give a fuck. You entertain.
I don't give a shit either.
Entertain me, nigga. Like,
yeah. And also, I feel like
from the fucking half court, if he can. Like,
I mean, you still gotta play though. That's how I feel about baseball.
Exactly.
Too. I could take ACH right now. I'm not finna be hitting like Cody Bellinger, nigga. Like. If that was true, nigga, right. I'd be like, nigga, juice me up, nigga. I'm finna be in the league.
Like, no, I think Harold Reynolds said it best. He was like, steroids turns doubles into home runs.
Exactly.
He was like,
yeah.
He was like, bro, if you trash, you trash.
If you ain't got that eye, you ain't got that eye, nigga. So I'm not worried about LeBron. But like you said, I'm worried like a motherfucker about AD. One, because it's the same shit like KD 2 years ago. The calf injury, remember? And it was just as vague as that. Maybe he missed like 2 full rounds. No, he missed the whole playoff. Damn near.
He missed the whole playoffs.
He played everything up to the close. Like, he got injured in the closeout game against the Clippers, remember? Man. He fucked his shit up. And then they brought him back in the finals, and he fucked his shit up. And he's not as brittle as AD. You look at this nigga AD, he fucked something up. So I'm worried about that. Like you said, LeBron, he's 36. And even though we talk about, you know, Father Time is undefeated, it's the second major injury in three years. Like, this is not, you know, by coincidence.
People won't say that, but you're right.
It's like he's missed a significant time. And he still got another 3 weeks before he can start practicing. And we haven't got any update on Anthony Davis. We don't know. Like you said, they were going to update his status. That was like a week ago, 10 days ago. We ain't heard shit. And there's only, as of today, today is Friday, April 9th. We are 6 weeks away from the playoffs. It's not that much time left. And so then you got to get chemistry again because you ain't played in so long. Even when LeBron was playing before he got hurt, he was going a month without playing with AD. So he's got to get reaccustomed to AD. Then they got to fit Andre Drummond beanhead ass in there. So they got, and on top of that, they might be in a fucking play-in game. And I'm be real with you. Even though you got AD and LeBron and you should win, do you want to see Luka in a play-in game? I don't want to see that nigga in a play-in game. No. I don't want to see that motherfucker in the play. Nigga, his legend will go through the nigga. Could you imagine him knocking off the Lakers? Oh my God.
That nigga's gonna have KCP in the torture rack. They do not want no parts of Luka Doncic in the play.
You saw it, nigga. They lucky that if KP was injured, wasn't injured, they might have beat the Clippers last year.
Facts. Now that's facts, nigga.
And one thing I love about Luka got that dog, G. Luka, if Luka smell pussy on the Lakers, he's going for the kill.
But that's one person who, like, I mean, I thought he was going to be good. I didn't know if he was going to be great because, like you said, we had all that hype about, you know, European player after player. We were still scoring from Nikolaj Mirotic or whatever the fuck his name is. But when he came through and the things that he's done, bro, he's elite. Like, he is the future of the league. Like,
yeah.
I'm taking Luka over Giannis. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm taking Luka. Yeah, 10 out of 10 for sure, nigga. Like, I'm taking Zion over Giannis. Zion got more moves at 20? And Giannis been in the league, what, 7 years?
I mean,
like, come on, bro.
Dunking is Giannis's move, bro.
Like, what the fuck, dog? At this point. So, yeah, and then, okay, let's just say they don't be in the playing game. You want to play the fucking Nuggets in the first round?
No.
Going to Denver? And guess what? We got crowds now, nigga. Going to Denver? No, I don't. And I know we talk about the Clippers a lot. Do you want to see the Clippers in the first round? I wouldn't want to see the Clippers in the first round, nigga. Coming off it. Hell fucking no. So, yeah, my danger level for them niggas is 9. I will say this. If they do win a championship, this is going to be an earned championship. Them niggas got to go through a gauntlet in the West. And if they get through that gauntlet, guess who they're going to be looking at? Oh, shit. 3 first battle Hall of Famers.
But so you see they setting the bullshit up already. If LeBron wins this championship, is he's the GOAT? Like,
yeah, you see, but and they've done this shit before. They did that shit in 2016. What people gotta understand is this about LeBron and GOAT conversations in general. For niggas who feel like Mike is the best, and for niggas who feel like LeBron are the best. If you're a LeBron fan, right, you think LeBron's already the GOAT. Nothing I can say about Michael Jordan is gonna change your mind. You think LeBron can win 10 championships? You know what I'm always gonna have in my back pocket? He lost 6. So there's really no point in having this conversation. Neither side is going to feel like they're wrong. At this point, LeBron is just chasing ghosts. If I'm LeBron, my goal is to get as many rings as I can and get every fucking record in the record book. To where it's like, I've got my legacy as stacked as possible. So that's what it is. But yeah, if I was like a fan, I know Laker fans talk a lot of shit, I'd be nervous. I'd be nervous as hell if I was y'all, man. So let's go to our next topic, man. Phoenix Suns. Phoenix Suns right now, 36-15. They have the second best record in the NBA right now. They have won 8 of their last 10. They had a tough loss last night to the Clippers. Of course, when we're recording this, is Friday. So when you hit this, it was 2 nights ago. They lost to the Clippers 113-103 on Thursday. My question for you, we talked about, you know, Chris Paul's MVP status, what we think about Devin Booker. How far do you think this thing can go? Like, do you think they're a legit playoff threat, or are they just one of them teams who they're good in the regular season?
I think they're gonna go as far as Chris Paul carries them. I think we saw the Rockets pretty much go a game away, and I think they really would have won. I still believe they would have won that game 7 if Chris Paul plays, but I could see them going all the way to the finals. G, like, I really could.
It's my thing about that, and it's the thing about Chris Paul too. Like, Chris Paul has, you know, this thing in the playoffs. Like, I feel like. Like I said, Chris Paul in the playoffs is like me when I go to Vegas. Like, it just don't work out all the time.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about earlier, teams really needing a top 10 in both. They're 7th in offensive rating and they're 5th in defensive rating. So, like, They do it well on both sides of the ball.
I think they can beat some bottom teams. I don't think they can beat the Clippers. I don't think they can beat the Lakers. I don't think they can beat the Nuggets. And if they play Utah in the series, that's a toss-up to me. And you know how I feel about Utah. I don't buy any type of Utah Jazz stock once in a fucking ever. But I don't know. And I don't know. I don't really know how far they can go, but I think they're an interesting team. I wouldn't want to play them, that's for sure. So, shout out to Phoenix, man. Phoenix, I thought Phoenix was going to be good. Which Chris Paul, I didn't think they were going to be this goddamn good.
No, that's me either. I'm not going to lie. Like I said, I picked them as like a 3-4 seed. So, to see them as a 2 and actually threatening the 1,
yeah,
that's crazy.
We're going to stay in the Western Conference, man. We're going to go to the bottom of the Western Conference, man. Golden State Warriors, 24-28 right now. They have the last play-in spot. So if the play-in began today, they would play a best-of-3 against the Dallas Mavericks, which really isn't a best-of-3 because the top seed only got to win one game. If you're the bottom seed, you got to win 2 in a row to advance. And, you know, so my question is this. Do you think the Warriors are wasting Steph's prime?
Absolutely. I told my homie from Oakland the other day, like, if you the Warriors, you need to be in win-now mode every year. Like, I don't give a fuck who get hurt. If somebody get hurt, you need to be trading draft picks, trading players, reshuffling that deck, trying to get free agents in there. Whatever you got to do, you need to maximize Steph Curry's prime. You have the greatest shooter of all time on your team, and you're sitting here. Like, last year, you just tanked. And this year, you're struggling for a play-in game. So it's like, no, you need to be, like, trying to hit these disgruntled superstars, people who, you know, may be good, but they on a big deal and teams want to get off that contract. Anything you can do, because you just built a brand-new stadium, and this is now year 2 of that stadium, but you can now have fans in that bitch. So you need to get asses in them seats. And yeah. So you need to maximize the time you have left with Steph Curry. And at this point, they need to do it quickly because we're going to get to the point where it goes from asking, are they wasting Steph's prime, to should Steph demand a trade?
Yes, I think I'm with you on that. I think they're teetering a very thin line. I will say I've seen a lot of, and Warriors Twitter, them niggas, it's kind of funny because it's like back to what every fan base deals with. Like, yep. It's not so funny when you don't have, you know, when you can just score with everybody. You have problems that every other franchise has now. And I feel like, you know, Steph is out there just literally by himself. And, like, it's like, I feel like when the season started, I didn't believe they was wasting prime. But I really feel like the Warriors front office feels that next year when Klay Thompson comes back from his injury, that's going to solve all their problems. They'll have Steph and Klay healthy for the first time in 2 years. And that they'll be a top 4, top 5 team in the Western Conference just that damn quickly. And I think that's a lot of arrogance. I think that's a lot of false hope. I hope Klay comes back and he's the same guy. I think there's a good chance he will be. I mean, if you even look at KD, KD doesn't look like he's, you know, any less of a player than he was before the Achilles injury. And KD moves a lot more than Klay. Klay doesn't move. Klay's a spot-up shooter. You know, Klay comes off screens. So, yes, I think it'll be easier for Klay to make a comeback than it was for KD, but he's not going to clear every fucking problem these niggas got. Like, they have a lot of fucking holes in this team. And they're mismanaging James Wiseman. I really don't like how they're managing James Wiseman. They're killing that young kid's confidence. They're not using him the right way. And I really feel like there's a lot of arrogance in that Warriors front office, not just from the front office, but from Steve Kerr. Oh yeah, we won championships. We've done it before, that they feel like they can just make this a quick fix. And it's like, nigga, like, as long as Steph, like, and they didn't do anything at the deadline, and even Draymond was like, oh, you know, making a play-in doesn't do anything for me if we're not winning championship. And I get that championship or bust mentality when you've been in the finals for, like, 5 times out of the last 6 years. I understand that. But when you have Steph Curry on your team, you need to be modern. You need to take advantage of that as long as you fucking can. And you don't want to piss Steph off. It might get to the point where next year Klay comes back and you niggas are still 6-7 seed because you don't have the help. Kelly Oubre is not depth. You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand his brother-in-law's on the team, but you need to get that nigga cut.
No.
Your sister's just going to have to get over that shit. Like, y'all come from a rich family. They'll be fine.
No, I agree, bro. And like you said, to mention depth, one thing that we've really, you know, neglected to mention, and we always do this when we talk about the Warriors, they had a great second unit during that championship run.
Great bench
between Barbosa, between Sean Livingston, Andrew Iggy. Bogut, Iggy. They had a great second unit. They had pros who knew their role, accepted their role, and that's why those buyout guys and, you know, guys in the end of their career are so important, because they may have been better players and played bigger roles at an earlier time in their career, but at that point, they just want to win. So when you get guys like that and they just buy in, that's important. And so now with the Warriors, you've gone from having that to having a bunch of guys who are either trying to prove themselves in the league, or guys who have the Kim Bazemores, who bounced around the league. He was in Golden State and he went to one, and now he came back. Kim Bazemore
is not depth.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, it's a complete change. And that's why I said, if I'm the owner of the Warriors, I have to be in win now mode.
Yeah.
You have to, bro.
And like you said, I don't think Steph is going to demand a trade this offseason, but I do think if they underachieve next year, and it's very possible if they don't make any significant roster changes, nigga, like, get me the fuck out of here. And then you have a problem on your hands, man. So they need to take advantage of that. As long as Steph Curry's here, you need to be trying to maximize your window as much as possible. Let's talk about, speaking of Warriors, talk about a current Warrior and an old Warrior. Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, as we all know, KD has his own network, the Ballroom, 35 Ventures. He has a little podcast he got out. I don't remember the name, but he had Draymond Green on there this week. And it was a nice little funny conversation. Basically, they were talking about Draymond was like, nigga, I wasn't in the car crying, you know, calling for KD to come back after game 7. They talk about how he got there. They talk about the little run-in they had at the Clippers game 2 years ago, where everybody feels like that was one of the main reasons that KD left. And they had a good laugh about it. It was really funny about how, you know, Draymond was like, you know, KD Elton, like, nigga, give me the fucking ball. He's like, I'm about to give your bitch ass the ball if you just wait a second. And he said that he was going to, like, you know, stop the fight. But everybody in the huddle started blaming Draymond. He said, Boogie, come over to me tomorrow. Man, shut the fuck up. He like, y'all niggas ain't talking to him like that. And he kind of got, he's like, after that, I was like, man, fuck that shit. So they talk about that. But then they start getting into the young players comment, which is kind of funny. They both get on their old head shins like, yeah, it's the most talent we ever seen in the history of the league, but these niggas soft. These niggas ain't got no work ethic. These niggas is too buddy-buddy. And that's hilarious because y'all niggas are literally being buddy-buddy on a podcast as you're recording right now, during the middle of a season. So to me, they're just doing the same thing that they get mad at Chuck and Shaq for doing. And it's just like, eventually you live long enough to be the old head, where you become a get-off-my-lawn-ass nigga. And KD is the last nigga to be calling anybody sensitive. Like, he is the last motherfucker on planet Earth to be calling anybody sensitive. So I just thought that was kind of funny.
No, definitely, bro. And you said you hit the nail on the head when you said, like, a lot of people really will try to criticize motherfuckers and be doing the very same shit that they talking about. Like,
yeah,
you see that a lot. And a lot of times that's because people just be projecting. I feel like when it comes to Draymond and KD, these are two dudes that we see react a lot.
Yeah,
like, you know, we've seen Draymond, he's been getting torn a new one by a lot of these women about his comments about the WNBA, which were just completely tone deaf. And it's like, if you've actually been paying attention, they're doing everything you said they're not doing.
Like, I think Draymond's heart was in the right place. Draymond just don't know how to say shit.
But I think that,
and then he doubled down, which made it worse.
That's what made it worse. But I think, to your point about what you just said, like, I think it's a lot of people who, like, their heart be in the right place, but they haven't been educated on a particular topic. And yes, we live in a time now where motherfuckers be like, Google it. And a lot of times, nigga, you don't even know where to start when you Googling it. So it's like, that's counterproductive. So now I feel you on that. But that was dumb as hell.
Yeah.
Ain't no way to put that. That was dumb as hell.
Yeah, it was dumb. And it was just like, nigga, like, get the fuck out of here, man. Like, you know. Like, come on, nigga. Like, y'all ain't got nothing better to do, bro. Like, you know, Draymond, y'all niggas suck.
And so KD, he auditioning for his next career. He's like, fuck it.
Yeah, it's like, and KD, like, you just can't call anybody sensitive, bro. Like, you've had a whole ass burner account, bro. Like, you had a whole falling out with fucking Michael Rapaport of all of you, bro. Like, it's just,
I,
like,
can't win with those guys.
Yeah, like, shut the fuck up, man. Like, shut up, nigga. Like, that's just why I just want to get both of them. Shut up, nigga. Let's get to the Bulls corner, man. I've got a little thing I want to rant on. As we are recording this, the Bulls dropped the game to the Atlanta Hawks today, snapping their three-game win streak. Zach LaVine had 20, had 50 points. Vooch had another double-double. I think it's like his fourth double-double since he's been a Bull. This is my problem with the Bulls, man. By the way, they're playing a lot better. You can see the chemistry's getting better. The chemistry's getting better between Vooch and Zach. The fucking PNR, the pick and roll looks fucking gorgeous. Like, and you're really seeing what Zach can do when he has another all-star level talent next to him. And it's really great to see. And even to some of the other players they picked up, Daniel Tice, he's doing great. Troy Brown Jr. is doing great. I feel like he needs to be getting more minutes. But the issue we have here, man, I tweeted today, once AK cuts the fat off this team, I feel like this could be a top four roster in the NBA. And I do feel like the narrative is changing around the Bulls. KD was in one of those. You know how they have the what's that thing on Twitter now? It's not a fleet, but it's like a little space, Twitter Spaces.
The shit that's like Clubhouse.
Yeah, it's like Clubhouse, a little Twitter Spaces thing. So KD was on a Twitter space hosted by some NBA Twitter nigga, and they asked him about Vucevic, like, so what you think about that Bulls core? You think pairing Vooch up with Zach was good? And he was like, yeah, nigga, duh. He said, that's like an amazing pair. He said, you know, of course, they're not going to be good right away, but I see what they're building. They got vision out there. You know, he said some good things about Kobe White, which I didn't like. But he was like, yeah, you got a guy like Kobe who get 25. You know, but you can see the culture's changing to the point where you've got other niggas in the league, and these niggas talk, and players run the league now, and they know what they're building. And so that's going to come in big for the Bulls as far as getting players to come play with them. So the vision's changed. But today's game pissed me off because nobody came to show up to play besides Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic. And by the way, we were talking about the other Nikola we had here, Mirotić. Stacey King, do me a favor, bro. I love all your catchphrases and shit. Stop saying three cola when this nigga Vucci hits a three, because you bring back bad memories when this nigga was playing. Yeah. Stop it.
Die.
Call the nigga Vucci main, bro. Let's just keep it simple. So I had a problem with, if you look at the stats, you had a lot of zeros, bro. A lot of zeros. Lauri Markkanen and Kobe White. Look, when Kobe's not scoring, he's literally useless. He's the sole reason that they came back. You go into the second half, you up 13 points. Trae Young almost outscored the Bulls by his damn self. The Bulls had 18 third quarter points. He had 17.
Bro, I was watching that game, and it was just – Kobe White getting bucket after bucket,
yeah,
after bucket. Scored on him. Not getting buckets. Getting these buckets scored on him. And I'm like, God damn, this man can't guard a fucking folding chair. Like, this shit is ridiculous.
And he not scoring enough to offset it. And you got Lauri out here with fucking 5 points in 26 minutes. And he getting taken to school by fucking Danilo Gallinari.
They crushed him when they didn't trade him. That
crushed
his confidence.
It's like, well, now that nigga sucked before the trade. Like, it's like, I just feel like they really couldn't tag nobody. They couldn't. I feel like they shopped him, but nobody wanted his bum ass. So they need to, like, there needs to be some DMPs that goes on for the rest. Some of these niggas need to not play. And you had such a great first half. And the second half, what was Daniel Tyson? What was Troy Brown Jr.? Niggas really didn't even play in the second half. Like, and then when the Hawks came all the way back, took a 1-point lead, you got 7 minutes left in the game. You bring Zach back in the game, and then no, you bring Vooch back into the game. And then you sit Zach, nigga, huh? That's 6 minutes left in the game, bro. You keep them niggas in there. You roll with the hot hand, and it's just like they just completely left them niggas going. So I'm blaming the rest of the team, and I'm blaming Billy Donovan. Billy Donovan's second half rotation was shit. And it just, I was the first time I was mad at a Bulls game in a long time. I can't remember the last time the Bulls were even like watchable enough for them to get any type of emotion out of me. But that game really pissed me off. And, you know, like I said, I feel like Billy's been doing a great job this year with the circumstances and the shit talent he has. But he just did he had a bad coaching game. It was very, very fucking bad. And we also just see how bad of a general manager Garth Forman was, how bad of executive John Paxman, because all these niggas who are fucking up with niggas they drafted. And so, but overall, man, I think the Bulls' future's bright. I think they're going to make the play-in game. They took care of business for the most part these last couple games since the schedule lighting up. They had a big win last week against the Nets. I didn't even watch that game because I was expecting us to get washed. So I feel like they're going in the right direction, but I'm just really just waiting for the offseason so we can get rid of some of these unnecessary players on this team, man. But, you know, you can't really be too mad at the Bulls right now. They're going in the right direction.
You know, I agree with that, bro. I think it's really a matter of Garpack's put together a completely shit roster. Yeah. Like, these are some of the most terrible niggas we've ever seen in a Bulls uniform, and it just don't fit. And like, I think one thing that speaks to that is you see a lot of Bulls players go other places and play a role and actually be successful. So yeah. Like, it just shows you they just really put together a roster that didn't fit in a bunch of players that don't really play together or play well. So, I mean, with AK and me, we really starting to see, you know, who stands out for them and who doesn't. We'll see what they doing. I know I've seen a lot of Bulls fans who have been high on Satoransky and whatnot.
Who had zero points today.
Yeah.
Zero American points.
Motherfuckers like that, I can't pay you now $1 million. You can't get me a bucket.
And that's why you need a point guard. We had like 17 turnovers. I don't even know how many points came off them turnovers, but it was too much, bro. That's why you need a
too much.
Way too much. Satoransky is not a point guard, like a starting point guard in this league. 0 points, my nigga. Come on, dog. It was just a terrible fucking game. And I want, what was your Trae Young take you want to get off since we're here?
I do not like watching him play basketball.
Okay.
I really just don't. Like, the foul hunting, I see what Lloyd Pierce was talking about. Like, this shit is fucking ridiculous. I understand a lot of people like him, but he's one of those analytic guys. Like, they like him because he takes a lot of those high-value shots that they like or whatever. But as far as I'm concerned, you can really keep Trae Young.
I don't watch a lot of Atlanta games either because Trae Young is not the most entertaining nigga to watch to me either. And I really just don't like how that nigga hair look, bro. He look like a DeBarge, bro. Like, it just really, like, pisses me off like a level that I can't even explain. Also because Atlanta Hawks fans actually think this nigga's on the same level as Luka. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like, Luka is in a whole different stratosphere compared to this nigga. So
yeah, I mean, but you know why they do? They do that to justify the trade.
And that's regular.
And in their mind, they know that, yo, we fucked this up. Well, our team fucked this up. Even though I've always contested that, contended that each city got the right person.
Yeah,
like Luka was perfect for Dallas because you were phasing out the Dirk era, and Trae was working for Atlanta. You know, with Ice Trae and all the shit they be doing. But I think for the fans, they always have to justify that trade, and that's one of the ways that they try.
That's what fans do. Fans love to justify shit. I'm talking to you dumbass Bears fans who tried to talk to me this week about how much better we are, Andy Dalton, and I was like, get the fuck out of my face. So, yeah, them type of fans. But that's all I really got to say on the Bulls. That then also, Zach LaVine is a special player, bro. Like, for any of you niggas who said we should trade him, any of you niggas who think we should max him out, look, man. I've seen a lot of people who could put up buckets with the Bulls. I love D-Rose time here. I haven't seen a scorer in a Bulls uniform look this good since Michael Jordan. And it's just like he just scores so effortlessly, bro. It's like, it's ridiculous, man. So shout out to Zach. Before we get to weekly power rankings, just want to quickly go over these two things, man. Like a little fire round. Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce got fired from ESPN this week. Anybody remember like last weekend, this nigga was high off his ass, high and drunk on IG Live with some strippers, smoking weed, and this nigga got fired on his day off. And everybody's like, oh, Disney, they don't know, ESPN was too harsh, and, you know, weed is legal. And I you know, and they was like, oh, how you get fired? And some people making it too big of a deal with it. To me, I put it like this. It's not that big of a deal. And this is why I say it's not that big of a deal. The main reason is, the nigga is worth $200 million. Okay, so this job is clearly just so this nigga can have something to do during the fucking week. Paul Pierce is not suffering because he's not on the ESPN payroll anymore, okay? This nigga is perfectly fine. That's the nigga why he got on his IG store and was laughing like an idiot because, like, nigga, you know how fucking rich I am? I only do this because I needed something to do. And number two, no, I don't think ESPN was rough for this. In fact, this is a Disney-owned company, bro. Disney can't have niggas, can't have their employees on Instagram Live with strippers and fucking weed. Come on now. That's not the mouse image, bro. Y'all got to think of it from that perspective. And also, I feel like that Paul Pierce just didn't give a fuck. He's not stupid enough to know that you're not supposed to go on IG Live and do that shit. We work for ESPN. He knew that. I just don't think he cared. So that's where I'm at. I don't think it's that big of a fucking deal.
No, I agree 100%. Like, you just hit the nail on the head when you say it's a Disney network. Like, what the fuck were y'all expecting? Like, and then I think another thing that played into it was everybody in the live was mentioning Rachel Nichols. Like, because, you know, people on Twitter like to make silly rumors up and shit. And so people were saying, like, they fucking or whatever. And so everybody can say, yo, where Rachel Nichols at? Where Rachel Nichols at? So, like you said, when you bring that into it, and the fact that this is a Disney network, it's like, nah, bro, that was, it's a wrap. But he'll land at Barstool or somewhere getting a check, so it really don't fucking matter.
I can see that. I can definitely see that. Or that nigga might.
I can see that 100%, bro.
Get a bag from OnlyFans or some shit. Like, at that point, would you really be shocked? Like, you know.
Yeah, they said they offered him, I think it was 250 racks, some shit like that.
Yeah, that nigga be fine. He just needs something to do during his spare time. Quickly to our last topic, Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday signed a 4-year, $134 million contract extension with the Milwaukee Bucks. It'll be worth at least $134 million if he exercises his option for the final season. Under the terms of the deal, Holiday declines the option but receives base salaries of $30.1 million next year, $32.4 million in 2022-2023, $34.7 million in 2023-2024, and he also holds a $37 million option for 2024-2025. I'm going to say this about Drew Holiday, bro. I'm not hating on no black man getting their money. Do your thing. And there's a lot of niggas who get a lot of money right now that they don't motherfucking even necessarily deserve. And I'm not going to say that Drew Holiday don't deserve anything. I think Drew Holiday is a solid player. I think he's one of the best defensive guys in the league. I think he's a good number three option on your team like he is on this team. With all that shit being said, you have to put a gun to my head to offer Drew Holiday that type of fucking contract. And do you really think this is a guy that can really help you to win a championship? And the problem with Milwaukee isn't their supporting cast. I don't think Milwaukee has a bad supporting cast. This is probably like the only superstar situation I've ever seen where the problem was a superstar. When KD wanted to leave OKC, it wasn't because KD was a problem. It was the niggas who were around him was a problem. When LeBron wanted to leave Cleveland, it's not because LeBron was a problem. It was the niggas around him was a problem. Same thing with Anthony Davis. Giannis is the fucking problem. Because he can't step up and be him in the fourth quarter of these playoff games. So when you look at it, to me, I'm like, okay, I guess it's Milwaukee. You're not going to sign anybody else, so you might as well get a nigga in the contract. But that's a lot of goddamn money for Drew Holiday.
Bro, I got into an argument with niggas on the golf course about this. Like, I'm talking about, we literally on the green putting. And I say, there's no way you motherfuckers think you can give Drew Holiday this kind of money as your third option. That's insane. Like, but I agree with you. It's one of those situations. And like one thing they brought up, which a lot of people were like, oh, at one point Mike Conley was the best. It's like, just because some dumb shit happened don't mean you need to follow
do it twice, right?
And I agree that Drew Holiday is very good, but when you look at the people that are making that type of money, the names you start mentioning, I like Damian Steph Lillard, Curry, LeBron James, Dame Lillard, James Harden, Kyrie Irving. He's not on that level. He's good. He's extremely good, but he's not on that level, bro. And so for you to give him that type of bread, I do think he's one of the more underrated players in the league, especially defensively. Yeah. But to go from
$134 million?
Right, anyway, from 29 to $40 million, depending on if he hit his incentives per year, that's crazy.
$37 million in that last year is nasty. That's a nasty figure, bro. Come on, dog. What y'all doing out there in Milwaukee, bro? Like, what's going on? What's in the water? So that's what I'm gonna do with that one. Power rankings, weekly power rankings, man. I'll go ahead first. My weekly power rankings, man, at number 5 on my power rankings this week, I've got the Philadelphia 76ers. They got Joel Embiid back. Looks pretty good so far. They're still in that battle right now. They're like a half game out of the first spot against the Brooklyn Nets, so they're gonna be going back and forth with that. I will pick the Sixers for my 5th spot. Number 4, going with the Denver Nuggets. Denver Nuggets still out here on a run. I don't even think these niggas have even lost a game since fucking they got, what's his face? Aaron Judge face. They moved from like the 8th seed at the start of the year to the 4th seed. And they're like a game and a half between a 3rd spot on the Clippers, man. And if you look at their last 10, they're 9-1 in their last 10. So, yeah, they're undefeated since they've got Aaron Gordon. So, yeah
they're game back, but yeah.
Yeah, they're game back. And, you know, Jokic, the Joker's putting up crazy numbers, man. I do think it's his MVP to lose. We said that I'm up with you. I think Chris Paul should get some more, votes than people are talking about right now. But I think it's his MVP to lose. And they've been knocking shit out the park since they, got all their guys out. This is the guy, Aaron Gordon. So I put them at number four. Number three be the Phoenix Suns. Phoenix Suns had a tough loss the other night against the Clippers, but they're 8-2 in their last 10 games, and they're number two team in the NBA. I mean, it's not that much more you can say about that, man. I put that number three. Number two, I've got the Los Angeles Clippers, man. Like I said, I'm buying. I might regret this, but I'm buying Clippers stock. They're number three. They're 8-2 in their last 10. These niggas are a game and a half behind Phoenix for the second spot. Rondo's there. They're looking good. You know, they just got to get fully healthy. But I like how the Clippers is looking right now, man. I'm liking the defense. They've gotten back into the top 10 defense. We talked about that. We go how they was like 17. So they're hyping that back up. And I just love how Rondo makes that the job easy for everybody. And number one, of course, is the Brooklyn Nets, man. Brooklyn Nets are officially number one seed after, you know, basically fighting for number one seed for months, damn near. And number one seed right now, they're 8-2. They're on a two-game win streak right now. Kevin Durant came back. Kyrie's been cooking. Harden is going to come back soon. Their pickups, their buyout pickups, and Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge are hooping. That's a team I don't want to see, man. I think they're going to be the team that's going to win it all, man. I'm going to put them at number one for my weekly power rankings.
Okay. I'm going to switch it up a little bit. My number five team is actually the Charlotte Hornets. They are 7-3 in their last 10. They've won two in a row. They've really been able to maintain things with LaMelo out. My number four team is going to be the Clippers. You know, they're 8-2 in their last 10. They've won four. My number three team would be the Phoenix Suns, also 8-2 in their last 10. My number two team would be the Utah Jazz. I know they've been leading the league and everything for a while now, but, you know, I got them as my number two team. And number one, my hottest team of the week is the Denver Nuggets. Like you said, 9-1, 8-0 since they got Aaron Gordon, and really charging right now. And so I think it's going to be a race between Denver and Phoenix to really see who wins this year.
Okay. So you're giving your full Western Conference stock to them. So right now you would pick them to come out the West.
I really like Denver since they got Aaron Gordon. Bro.
I do too.
They can do a lot. And I'm not just saying that because they've won 8 in a row for a reason.
Like, yeah, I love Aaron Gordon's play. And when he's not your number one, your number two option like he was in Orlando, it freezes his stuff up.
Yeah.
And like he does what they were missing with Jeremy Grant, but I think a little bit more effective.
Yeah.
And it just makes them – I just think that they're hitting on all cylinders right now. And it's, you know, that's not a team I want to see.
Yeah. And, I mean, we talked about it earlier with players being happy and, you know, environment matters when we're talking about Blake and LaMarcus. But even with Aaron Gordon, when you're drafted to a shitty team and y'all are – you know, they've made the playoffs the last couple of years. Like,
but it's been like 7th, 8th seed. Like,
right. You haven't actually been able to, you know, grow and be better, but then they drop you in there with the Joker and Murray and everybody else they got on that squad, Michael Porter Jr. I think that's going to do him well, and I really think they can be dangerous as fuck come playoff time.
And they got experience. They went to the conference finals last year.
Yeah.
They took the Lakers to 6 games. Could have went 7 if Anthony Davis ain't made that shot. So I feel like they think we get home court, and it, as you know, vulnerable as Lakers are, we can take these niggas. And they got how and okay, so I want to go on what percentage do you think? What do you think is going to be the lead capacity wise, fan wise, when the playoffs start? Do you think it's going
50%.
To stay? I think it's going to go up to 50. Yeah, I think it's going to go to 50.
Also, we have more rounds of these baseball games where motherfuckers are filling stadiums up and like the numbers don't spike. I think we're going to go to 50.
And then also, they're offering teams vaccination. Now, I don't know if you've seen that commercial. Where it's like a sports commercial, like, oh, we'll welcome you back to the stands. You have the vaccine. But they said the vaccine is available, so if you don't take it, you're not getting to these games, nigga. Because every arena is like you either got to have proof of vaccination or you got to take an on-spot test.
Yeah, and I like how they use the double entendre. Like, it's up to you. Like,
yeah,
it's,
exactly.
It's some shit like that. It's like, all right, nigga, it's up to you now. Like,
exactly.
You can read that several ways. Like, it's up to you, you know, if you want to get the vaccine done. But then they can also say, hey, nigga, it's up to you.
Right.
You know,
how bad do you want to come to this game?
Exactly.
Bro. I'm with you. I think that the NBA playoffs will be 50%. I think the NBA finals might be 100%. NBA finals is late July.
I mean, Roger Goodell already let you niggas know. He said we will be full capacity.
Roger Goodell said it's going to be full. Also, but the NBA said they fully expect for next year to be full capacity. So they're going to that direction. And I think MLB teams second half are going to be full capacity.
Yeah, 100%.
Because they're outdoor sport. They're going to be 100% capacity. And just even this first week in MLB season, you can see just how different it feels like baseball again, bro. Like, I even though it wasn't a lot of people in the cell last night, did you feel the energy when Yerm hit that home run, bro?
Side note, he hit that motherfucker to the catwalk.
Bro, he hit that bitch over to Dan Ryan, my nigga. Right?
Like, if anybody might leave that bitch, it might be him or Lewis. But, like, that was the furthest home run I've seen hit there since Tommy hit the catwalk a couple years ago.
So, yeah, I'm with you on the fans. Goofy Mog of the Week, man. I'm just going to go out at the obvious. Hubert Davis, man. What the fuck? What the fuck?
I am proud that my wife is white.
He had me for 44 seconds, bro. And he did it. He was, like, answering all the shit. I'm like, okay, he holding it down. He said, I am proud to be a black man. I was like, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right, King. And they said, I'm proud that my wife is white, and I'm proud that I got two mulatto children. It's basically what he said. That's basically what the nigga said. And I was like, nigga, what do you get? What? Nobody was even asking you questions about that. Like, nobody was probing you, and they made it worse. I don't know if you saw the video from before. He said it before.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do you gain from this, my nigga? Like, what the fuck?
He had to make sure them white folks were nervous. He said, I know we still in North Carolina. He had to send them, throw them cold words out
there. Let me be a comfortable black on here.
He said, oh, by the way, I happen to have a white wife, so I'm not black.
Like, and I'm finna go into a little deeper, darker criminal link. This might be a little summer session this year, but fuck it. They were heating his wife. A lot of them say his wife was like Marty Bird from Ozark. And on top of that, did you know a lot of these niggas who date white women, did you notice? Actual fine white women, not Kardashian looking white women. I'm talking about actual, she looked like a white woman fine. They don't date niggas. Let's just keep it all the way funky. They might start with an athlete, but they eventually marry white.
Yeah, that's fact.
Let's be real. When you see all these corny ass niggas who date, and I'm not saying that you can't date outside your race. In the words of Ray J, be who you want to be, love who you want to love. But a lot of these niggas are corny and want you to let you know they're dating white women while putting down our black queens at the same time. And I don't fuck with that.
That's the primary issue. Because I feel it, and I say that both ways. Date who you want to date. But when you say, oh, I date outside my race because black people didn't X, Y, Z, shut the fuck up.
It's corny, bro.
You're a clown. That's like the lame-ass anime niggas that say they can't find black women that like anime. Like, nigga, no, you just a fucking creep.
And not only are you a funk creep in today's era where nerd culture is pop culture,
bruh. What?
Like, I be seeing some fine hoes who watch Marvel and Dragon Ball Z and all that shit. So no, you niggas just incels.
Well, I almost put a costume on and went to Comic-Con. Bitches be out there like
nigga.
What?
When I worked at Amazon, nigga, I was there for 3 years. Every year I was trying to go to Comic-Con, nigga. That was like I was like, nigga, can put me on the list. IMDb was in the office across from me. So IMDb would go every year. And I'm like, put me on the list, bro. I need to be on the list. So that y'all just incels, nigga. You can be a cool nigga. Like, I'm the biggest Marvel nerd that I know. I nerd the fuck out when I'm talking about my Marvel shit. But I ain't no lame ass nigga. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Y'all niggas just incels. But
you do have an affinity gun. And I don't know too many niggas.
Oh, I don't have that. No, that's the story behind that. I wanted one, but I didn't buy it because I'm like, I'm not gonna do nothing to sit in my house. That picture on my Twitter, Avi, it was on my birthday, and I was out with my homegirl and one of my homies, and it was Halloween. It was like Halloween weekend. It was Halloween weekend. So this nigga was dressed up as Tony Stark. He walked to the bar and he had the Infinity Gauntlet. I was like, bro, let me see that gauntlet. I was like, can I take a picture with you? He said, yeah, sure, cool, bro, whatever you want to do. So I took a picture with it, and I gave it right back to the nigga. I do not own an Infinity Gauntlet. Do I want one 100%? Nigga, when I tell you I was so close to buying an Iron Man mask this week, the helmet,
I saw you post that joint.
Nigga, it was only $400. But the only reason I didn't press buy because it said it was going to take 6 months to get here.
No, nigga, the only reason you didn't press buy because what the fuck are you going to do with an Iron Man?
I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do with it, but I want it.
Imagine walking around LA talking about Jarvis, close the helmet. No, nigga, you're not going to do that.
You go to, like, nigga, I'm finna go to the club with an Iron Man helmet on, nigga. Try to get in the Nightingale. Like, yeah, nigga, I got Iron Man is a dope. I'm like, nah. But no. Hubert Davis, bro, we don't need to know that you love your white wife, bro. So that shit was corny to me. So I'm giving that nigga Goofy Mog of the Week.
Right. No, I feel you on that, bro. Like, nigga, you married her, so I hope you love her.
Right.
But no, my Goofy Mog of the Week, is, and this is a touchy subject, so I'm not going to try to crack too many jokes. Okay. But Deshaun Watson's lawyer.
Oh,
y'all have gone like full docs mode. Like you said, okay, the women have to release their names, and you went from that to a few hours ago, a report came out where they're saying, well, yes, consensual things happen after you had just been denying this shit for weeks. And this is after you already got 22 cases against you. So you found 19 other women who said, no, he's a good guy. Which means you, this man who plays for a team that has a massage therapist on staff, went to go find 40 other massage therapists to do things. So you've done nothing but make your case weaker and weaker and weaker. And so it's really not looking good for Deshaun. They got his Nike contract was suspended, but
is his beats also looking? His Dre beats got suspended too.
It also looking like bro did this shit. Like I'm not one to jump the gun, but what Chappelle? She said Beretta did that shit. Like,
Beretta did that shit.
This nigga did it, bro. Like we get into that territory, and so like his lawyer, like at this point. To sit here and just basically, it seems like he's just trying to.
He admitted. He's like, yeah, he had consensual relationships with women. Right. I'm like, I'll see you to fuck yourself up.
And then, like, when you start making statements like it was mutually desired, like, you start to play into the public perception that these women are just sack chasers. Like, they just doing this for money when most of them have released statements saying they want this nigga to get help. Like, the one shorty who talked to Sports Illustrated said, I don't want him to go to jail. I don't want no money. I want to be respected as a massage therapist. And I want him to stop doing this to people. Like, mm-hmm. So when you get into shit like that, it's just like y'all are making this look worse and worse. So like, I don't know how bro gonna bounce back from this. I'm sure we've seen
cooked.
Wilder shit.
He's cooked.
But I think he's done. I think he's cooked.
And I will say this as we close on this note. It would have been the most Chicago Bears ass shit of all time. If we traded all these picks for this nigga and this shit would have came out.
Oh no, nigga, we would have had to petition the league or something.
Oh my god. I'd have God hates us. That would have been peak trolls. So
that would have been the kiss of death for the Bears. It's like, you know what? This just ain't meant to be. Fuck this team.
Bruh, it was like with the Deshaun shit, it's like on racial draft. He said, oh, Tiger Woods just lost all his endorsements. Tough break, nigga. There's always FUBU. That's all it is, man. So let's wrap for that, nigga. We thank y'all for listening, man. Ball Don't Lie. We'll be back next week. Chicago. I will be in Chicago for the next 3 weeks. So if y'all in Chicago, man, I'm backied up. Hit me up. I'm out here. The Dark Knight Returns. I'm out here. You know what I'm saying? I have officially recovered from my 24-hour hangover. You know what's funny about when you hangover? You always say I'm not drinking again. Then when you beat the hangover, like, man, I'm going out tomorrow. Like, that's the- So I will be out. So anybody want to link up, man, link up with me, man. You know to follow us on Twitter at Barbershare Scott at October Zone Tay. You can follow the brand, the Barbers Chat Network at Barbers Chat Net on Twitter and Instagram. Patreon.com/Barbers Chair Network right now. We got $5 packages. We can just get the Summer Sessions OT episodes. Or you got the $10 package. If you get the Summer Sessions OT episodes, you can get WWE Top 25, which is hosted by Rob and Chris of Ruthless Aggression. We've got the Cinema with the Guys. We break down classic shows and movies on the Patreon. Of course, we're still working on Soprano Season 3 that we'll be dropping this month. And I'll be dropping the White Sox podcast, He Gone. Pierce hosts the 40-40 Club Extra Innings. We got a whole bunch of more content coming for y'all. We're going to have Summer Sessions video that's going to be coming to y'all this summer, and that's going to be a $10 exclusive. So get in tune with that, man. We will holler at y'all next week, man. It'll be another weekend in association. It'll be 1 week close to the playoffs. We're going to holler at y'all, man. We are out.